With K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District, this is Jesse Gilmore bringing you this week's edition of the Hort Report. Fall color in trees is right around the corner, but some trees might end up being disappointingly dull, and it's not necessarily the tree's fault. Fall color has many determining factors, but the one that plays the biggest role is actually the amount of sunlight the tree gets in the 2 weeks prior to color change. If the sunlight is frequent and intense, the fall color will be as well. This is because the tree spikes photosynthesis as a last effort to produce as many sugars as possible for dormancy. The more sunlight that ends up hitting the leaves, the more sugars can be produced and the stronger the color will be once the chlorophyll is destroyed. If instead the weather remains cloudy or rainy, fewer sugars are produced and the leaves will be a paler color. While this can be disappointing for those of us who enjoy bright fall leaves, this won't negatively impact the long-term health of the tree in any meaningful way. Fall is recommended as the best time to buy and plant trees, one of the reasons being the opportunity to see the fall color of a tree before purchase. While keeping in mind the previous facts about weather's impact on fall color, trees that still show bright fall color after marginal weather will likely always show that color. However, this should not be the only reason why you opt for an individual tree. Susceptibility to leaf diseases by the species will impact how many leaves the tree will have come autumn, and you should not ignore structure issues or other red flags just because the leaves have good fall color. Tree selection relies on a combination of factors, of which color is one of lesser importance. If you're looking for trees that default to stronger fall colors, look for red and sugar maples, sweet gums, ginkgos, black gum, and service berries. Downed leaves provide a good organic matter source for compost bins or mulch in the yard, but it's important to not overapply leaves in either scenario. Compost requires 3 parts brown matter to 1 part green matter, so although there will be plenty of leaves, you cannot leave green organic matter like grass clippings out of the formula. The best way to use leaves in compost is to mow your yard once some of the leaves have fallen and bag the clippings, depositing them into a compost bin or pile once the bag fills. This will give you a rough 3-to-1 ratio and cut the organic matter up into smaller pieces, which will help the compost break down faster. If you don't compost, remove the bag from your mower, and mowing over the leaves will mulch your yard with the broken up pieces of the leaves. Be aware that too much mulch will build up the thatch of your yard, which can cause root health issues. Fall is also the time to care for fescue lawns, so aeration might be necessary if you have allowed your lawn's thatch to build up for multiple years. Leaves should not remain on grass for too long as they can choke out turf if they are too thick. Instead, consider moving them to garden beds where they make a good insulation for more tender plants once winter rolls in. For more information on today's topic, contact your local extension office. I can be reached at 620-724-8233 or by email at jr637@ksu.edu. Once again, this has been Jesse Gilmore bringing you this week's Hort Report.